Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Okay, and welcome back to another episode of Lakers Explained. I am your host, Harrison Fagan. I am not joined today by Christian Rivas, my normal co-host, because, you know, like, we got tired of the level of knowledge that this show was at and the level of, like, analysis, so we wanted to drop it down a couple pegs, and we brought on Anthony Irwin. So, Anthony, how's it going?
Man, I've always wanted to be on Lakers Mansplained. I'm really happy that I finally get to do this.
No, I'm happy that we could have you on, and there's no one better to mansplain at this point than you. You just had your first Father's Day yesterday. How was that?
It was weird. It was really weird. I got woken up by Avery farting in my face, and it just got better from there.
I feel like it would be hard to get worse at that point.
She went over to her cousin's house, and they, you know, played around. They had a little kiddie pool out there, so they were playing around in the pool, and I was allowed to have a few White Claws. So, and it worked out really well, because it was nice of Devontae Kaycock to hop on the show in my stead, because otherwise it would have been a very different show.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if Jazz had done that same interview with you, that would have been very strange. So I'm glad that it was Devontae that stepped in and answered those questions about his journey to the NBA and all that stuff, because that would have just been a weird show for you to do. But yeah, he was great. That show was awesome. I listened to it this morning. It was like a really fun interview. So if you haven't listened to that on this feed, then go ahead and do that. Anthony and I will, at some point on this show, we could promise you two things. Number one, we will talk about the Lakers. And number two, maybe, we will also be doing a crossover show where I will be going on Locked On Lakers, and we'll continue this conversation by talking about like some Lakers roster rules and stuff like that. So if that appeals to you, go ahead and jump over there after this is done. But please listen to this entire show first, or at least like fast forward through. That affects our metrics, and we appreciate it. Today on Lakers Explained, we are going to be taking a little bit of a dive into the latest, I guess, like, I feel weird. I'm not going to say the hottest rumors around the team, because I feel like qualifying any coaching rumors as, like, hot rumors is kind of lame anyway, like, under any circumstances, especially when it's going to be the coach of the Knicks. And, like, the only way that job is hot is if you're talking about, like, the literal flames coming from the dumpster that is that job. But, like, Jason Kidd is being heavily linked to the New York Knicks head coaching job. They were, like, earlier this morning, as of when we're recording this on Monday, the Knicks were heavily interested in interviewing him. And then within a couple hours, they had apparently gotten that permission to go ahead and interview Jason Kidd from the Lakers. So, Anthony and I thought I could think of no one better to dive into this with than Anthony, who probably hates Jason Kidd more than anyone in the Lakers blogosphere. And like, you know, I just wanted to see what you thought about this and if you think it's going to impact the Lakers or any of that. So we can go ahead and jump into all of that. So, I mean, what was your first reaction upon hearing the rumor? Because I know you don't like Kidd. You were a critic of his hiring, but like, you know, he is technically a part of this coaching staff, and like the Lakers have been pretty good this year. Like, has your opinion of like his value, not of him as a person, but of his value to this team, changed at all over the course of the year? And number two, like, just, I guess, what was your overall first reaction when you heard this stuff?
I'm going to do those in reverse order.
All right, go ahead.
So my first reaction was, if I can just put myself back in that original mind frame, was something along the lines of like,
oh,
God bless you, Nyx.
It is the most Nyx choice possible. Like, it was kind of funny to watch them, like, go through this thing where they were kind of interviewing young assistants around the league, and there were all these leaks about, like, guys that you hadn't heard of getting coaching interviews with the Knicks, and you're like, whoa, I wonder,
you're like, if they're holy crap, they might be creative. What?
Yeah,
holy
they might holy. Try and build something from the ground up, and then they're like, sure enough, they're like, all right, Jason Kidd, Tom Thibodeau, Mike Brown, and then, you know, I feel Mark like Jackson. It's a matter of hours before they're connected to Mark Jackson if they haven't been already.
Yeah, I mean, it's just – and then it was also – so – you can kind of tell with the Knicks exactly when James Dolan starts to give his input, right? Like, this is all you like when you follow the Knicks or when you cover the NBA. I almost went so far as to say, like, when you've covered the NBA for as long as we have, I'm not going to go there, but when you have been, you know, immersed in NBA stuff and you know how the Knicks operate, you can just kind of chart out how the news cycle is going to go for anything Knicks related. They'll float out that they're thinking about doing the right thing, and it'll, you know, it'll impress some people for, you know, a week, maybe a couple months or whatever. And then from there, James Dolan will get involved, and it'll jump straight from the smart thing to do to here's this giant shortcut, this get-rich-quick scheme that the child of nepotism is going to jump to. And so, like, the Knicks were like, all right, we're gonna hire some young coach to grow alongside our young core, and we're going to chart this course that might have us competitive, not just, you know, whenever we do become competitive, but sustainably competitive for the foreseeable future. And then James Dolan was like, wait, isn't there a good free agent coming soon? Oh, and isn't his former coach, isn't he unemployed? He's not a head coach anywhere else. Let's go there. Let's go do that thing. And the strategy that they have been trying to implement of let's go get the coach that once stood next to the superstar free agent in hopes that that superstar free agent will come to New York. That strategy, which
he's just going to get confused and think that he's walking back into his normal old job just because Jason Kidd's there. Like,
yeah, right. It's like in the history of the NBA, find me the example of a superstar who saw their former coach get hired and then completely chart out a path to one day play for that coach again.
Oh, I have
find
one.
Me that excuse.
I have What's one. That? You ready? Who? It's Gordon mm-hmm. Hayward and the Celtics.
Oh. There you go.
Because that worked out really well. That's a plan everybody wants to emulate. That's like literally the one time I can think of that working.
Isn't Gordon Hayward like the source of some rumors of his teammates being annoyed by his white privilege? That's working out really well out there in Boston, right? It's like even so, Michael Jordan retired in 1998. Phil Jackson, who is somebody that Jordan says he's the only coach he would ever play for. Phil Jackson comes back to the NBA, and even that wasn't enough for Jordan to consider the Lakers, right? Jordan stayed retired. He stayed in Washington or something like that.
Yeah, and so, like, I think critically, the Lakers did not make that decision, seemingly thinking that Jordan yeah. would come out of retirement to play for them.
So it's just like, I don't know, whatever with Jason Kidd, like we've gone over his background and why it was problematic for the Lakers to hire him in the first place. And not just hire him, but they skipped or they kind of flaked out on Tyronn Lue simply because he didn't want Jason Kidd on his coaching staff. Or one of the reasons was that he wasn't going to be wasn't going to be on Tyronn Lue's coaching staff. So they wind up hiring Vogel, which to his credit, and to their credit, has worked out pretty well. Everybody seems to really like Vogel, and all of that. But you know, here we are with the Knicks thinking that hiring Kidd is going to give them some inside track on Giannis. When you know you have to look at every other aspect of that organization, it doesn't even take you very long to realize that this isn't going to work out. And here we are.
Yeah. And like, I also just really quickly, because I don't want to be one of those people, like one of those podcasts. I think especially now it's important to be specific when we're talking about this stuff. Like, I don't want to just say, and not that you were doing this, I don't want to just say like criminal stuff, like specifically what he like has done. He pled mm-hmm. guilty to spousal abuse in 2001. In 2007, he had a lawsuit filed against him for further spousal abuse. And then in 2012, he pled guilty to driving while intoxicated as a member of the Knicks.
So I also like the key thing to point out here is that those are all guilty plea. Well, yeah. except for the lawsuit.
This is not one of those things where like, oh, he was never convicted. Like, he literally admitted that he did it.
Yeah. And I don't believe, I believe there's been some public apology, right? And he did do some counseling for at least the abuse, and also probably the DUI. That's part of every DUI, you know, kind of step back into society, is you have to go through some kind of counseling here as to why you can't.
He at the very least, I know, took anger management training like that. There is reports of that.
Yeah. So
I'm not finding anything where he said he apologized or in it, but you know, who knows that, like, that we'd have to go back and like really look through things from the time.
But you know, what it all comes down to, and I also think that, you know, here in this case with Kidd, since he's shown up to the Lakers, he's apparently been a very good employee, and he has, you know, people within the organization have spoken about what he has brought to the table there. He has said all the right things about not wanting to perform a coup on Frank Vogel to take over as head coach there.
Vogel have even joked about the coup rumors. Like that, that's like, I mean, also like, honestly, that's a baller move from Vogel to just be like, ah, that's funny that like people are saying you could take my job.
Yeah. He's like, they went from being nervous about him performing a coup to him and Vogel saying that we're coup.
Oh, get God. It? I do not miss hosting a daily podcast with you.
but yeah, I mean, all that stuff aside, his personal and actual legal background should be enough to deter everybody. And then on top of that, like, he's not a very good coach.
Yeah.
He's the only coach in the history of basketball to have slowed down Giannis. And here again, you know, he's getting this opportunity because he was a point guard, and people seem to think that like point guards make these great coaches all the time. They don't.
Also, it's weird that like everybody keeps inferring that this is like a Giannis slur, even for the Lakers, to be honest, because like, unless this is like informed speculation that's based on something about like that Giannis has said either publicly or privately that I'm not aware of, like Kidd literally like basically like outed Giannis. He basically said like, yeah, Giannis was really upset that I was fired. Like, he basically called me crying, right. like all this stuff. And Giannis was like, yeah, like, I really wish that he wouldn't have shared that.
Yeah, well, it's funny because it gets spun as this Giannis move, right? But the spinning is being done from like the wrong direction. It's instead of it being Giannis and people in Giannis's camp saying, "Yeah, I really want to play for Jason Kidd again one day," it's Jason Kidd saying Giannis really wants to play for me again one day, right? And again, like, we're speculating on sourcing and stuff like that, so that's kind of a don't do that anyway. But still, like, all of the speculation about the Giannis and Kidd connection tends to go in the wrong direction, where we think that he is just desperate to play for Jason Kidd again, but seem to ignore how happy he seems to be playing for Mike Budenholzer, who devised a system that has made Giannis the most terrifying presence in the NBA.
Yeah, but you forget, like, Jason Kidd developed him, and by that I mean, like, stretched his arms out to be the length that they are, gave him incredible basketball talent, you know, developed.
Played him out of position, and all that good stuff. It was just, everything was great when Giannis was playing for Kidd.
All right, so with all that said, I do want to talk about how this might affect the Lakers, but we mm-hmm. are going to take a really quick break, and then we are going to talk about that, and we are going to talk about some secret Lakers workouts that were reported that are probably, I mean, I think that at this point we could probably say they're happening from over the mm-hmm. weekend. So we will take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about all that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
All right. So, like, I, you know, all this stuff about Jason Kidd's weaknesses, both as a professional and a person aside, like, the Lakers have won the most games in the West this year. Jason Kidd has earned praise from a lot of the players and other coaches for how he communicates in the locker room, how he keeps them together, how he is a respected voice among a lot of these players. And, you know, like, I think that that has to count for something. There's something to be said for continuity. Like, is any part of you concerned, like, just with messing up a good thing, something that's working, you know, right now for the Lakers, especially when, like, you know, like, he has not, to anyone's knowledge, like, you know, he, it's like you said, he's done and said all the right things since coming here. You know, there is potential that he has grown as a person. I can't know that. No one can really know that. That's only speculation. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, just in terms of, like, strictly in basketball terms, like, would you be concerned about just messing up something where it seems like the Lakers have built a pretty good rhythm, a pretty good, like, coaching staff here, and where everybody seems to understand their roles and things are working?
Well, I doubt Kidd would leave mid-season, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably unlikely. Like, I mean, who knows, because of the pandemic makes everything weird. And, you know, like, no, I think there are going to be a lot of norms that are kind of broken. Like, normally guys would not sit out of the playoffs and things like that, but guys are going to do that for various reasons because they're concerned. So, like, who knows? Like, if he takes another job, does he really want to stay in the bubble for, like, 3 months? You know, like, I don't know. But yeah, like, the norm is for guys to stay on for at least the rest of the playoff run, even if they get hired.
Yeah, So from the reason I ask is because, you know, would you be messing up something that's working if he doesn't leave you mid-season, right? So in that respect, I'm not too worried. And even if he did depart, there, I think there would be some concern there, just because you are opening up the team to, and the chemistry, the team's chemistry to change by way of not having Kidd in the locker room again. And, you know, from where I'm standing, it has seemed to me like Kidd has been this bridge by way, you know, LeBron and AD and some of the guys who, you know, probably relate better to Kidd. Kidd has been that bridge so that they can gain some respect for Frank Vogel, right, and his teachings and his approach to coaching. And in that respect, you could probably make the argument that Kidd has maybe served his purpose with the Lakers.
Yeah, Kidd has also, like, you know, Quinn Cook said in an interview this year that Kidd was one of the reasons he was excited to join the Lakers, which is like, so if the Knicks want to get a head start on their recruitment of Quinn Cook, you know,
Quinn Cook, yeah,
this is a great move. And like Rajon Rondo has said that, like Rajon Rondo, who probably considers himself the smartest person in any single room he's in, has said that he's learned things from Jason Kidd. And so, like, you know, and like the guys,
like how to perform a coup on playing time from Alex Caruso.
I mean, maybe that's it. Like, maybe that was it. So that would actually probably be less helpful to the Lakers if that were the case. But like, you know, I don't want to, like, just sit here and have this be like the, you know, like, hey, this guy that you, like, some of you probably like that's contributed to this team, that, like, you know, I'm like, just like crap on him for an hour. Like, I think that he's probably contributed. I do think that the Lakers are uniquely suited to weather his loss because, number one, the chemistry stuff you talked about is legit. Like, you don't necessarily want to remove an element of that because it's a rare mix. But at the same time, free agency, trades, like the offseason, all this stuff is going to change that, like, this year at some point or next year or whatever. Like, that, nothing ever stays all completely the same in the NBA. So change is inevitable on one hand. And then on the other hand, like, this is a room full of strong personalities anyway that kind of keeps itself together. Like, a locker room with LeBron, like, unless LeBron checks out, is not going to fall apart. So, like, last year he checked out a little bit of that and it fell apart. But, like, if when LeBron is engaged, I don't know how much that's even on the coach anymore to, like, keep that locker room all united. Like, at that point, that's him. And I think that he gets a lot of the credit for that. And then also, Frank Vogel, the way that he does his coaching staff is unique in that he watches a lot of his own game film and stuff like that. So like, that's not like an assistant thing where you can have like variability from year to year, depending on the guy that's doing those duties and making those game plans and whatever. Like, he came up through a video room and he's an obsessive with doing stuff like that. So I do think that they're uniquely weathered or uniquely prepared to weather like any losses on the coaching staff.
They're also so close to the end game. Like, they are about to embark on this 25-ish game sprint to the finish line. And I'm sorry, I don't see how Jason Kidd departing would, like, all of a sudden, like, oh no, how are we going to do this without Jason Kidd? You know, I don't see that happening. And look, I will cop to all my biases here because I was not a fan of Kidd's hiring.
No, and hey, I'm not
a fan of his like coaching style
or any of that. The stuff that he's guilty to doing is reprehensible. And like, yeah. I don't think either of us make any bones about that. And like, yeah, I mean, there's the stuff like there's even the off the court stuff that's like not criminal things, but like he was gunning for Luke Walton's job while Luke was still employed. He did commit a coup in Milwaukee to get his last job. They had a coach that they fired after Jason Kidd went to the owners who he was friends with and got that job after his coup failed in Brooklyn. Like, you know, by all accounts, like, he's kind of a shady dude, I think that we can say at this point. Like,
well, and like, maybe he has grown, like, maybe all that stuff, but maybe even, I don't want to say more importantly, because he has stuff that he has pled guilty to doing that is just really gross, but just for the sake of this conversation here, I don't know what Jason Kidd adds to the team strategically as a basketball coach. Now, maybe he has learned from Frank Vogel and is now smarter, but in that case, the Lakers employ Frank Vogel. You know, I don't really know what the Lakers would be losing out on. And like, maybe Kidd, by way of, you know, having to learn as an assistant coach, because when he retired, he was basically offered up his choice of head coaching jobs, right? So maybe now, by being humbled by his time in the NBA in the first place, and then with this process of kind of learning how to exist as not being an all-time great at what you're doing, right? Because we know right now he's an all-time great player. He's an all-time bad coach. So
I don't know if all-time bad is fair. His team, his records are a little below 500, I think, all-time. Like, he's not all-time bad. He's not good, but he's not all-time bad.
Well, I mean, like, relative to the opportunity that he was given, right? Like,
that's probably fair, but I don't know. I still don't know that I'd say all-time bad.
Well, all right. So he is not all-time great coach.
Yeah, no, right? Not at all.
So as he learns to exist as no longer being all-time great at what he's being asked to do, maybe he'll carry that into whatever his next gig is. But for what we're talking about right now, I just don't know what the Lakers are going to miss if he is no longer in that locker room. I think to this point, the Lakers are so close to the end game and they can sniff a championship so strong. Like, the smell of that and the pull of that championship is so strong that I don't see how the departure of Jason Kidd is going to detour them from any track that they're going to be on.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm mostly talking about moving forward, but I like, for what it's worth, I agree with you. Like, I think that it's just a discussion we have to have. And I think that, like, to further your point on if he's learned all this stuff from Vogel and become a good coach, like, you know who Vogel can teach that stuff to next? Like, the next coach that they hire to replace Kidd, you know, right. And like, rehabilitate their image too, from probably much less bad things. So like, I do not want to imply that the Lakers are going to take on someone with much worse, past issues. We don't know that.
I don't know. They had Lance.
Yeah. Well, there's that. You know, speaking of awkward segues though, I did want to talk about, like, the Lakers, these reports from Bill Simmons and J.J. Redick, and then, like, they were kind of furthering, like, something that Shams had said. We're like, I think at this point, enough people are talking about it that it's pretty clear the Lakers are breaking quarantine to go have secret workouts. And number one, I think that's, like, as much as I'm like, everybody should be being responsible right now and all that stuff, like, I do think that it's kind of hilarious that LeBron was just like, yeah, those rules, like, those are suggestions.
They're more guidelines, right? To sound like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I look.
LeBron's like, yeah, I know coronavirus is bad, but I really want to win another championship.
Honest question, Harrison. How many NBA players do you think actually abided the COVID guidelines and the social distancing guidelines?
Seven.
Like from start to finish. Like from start to finish.
Seven
all
or eight.
Of these guys just followed those rules to a T.
Yeah, like
it's like
seven
Mitch
or eight,
Kupchak
honestly.
And nobody else.
You could probably count them on two hands.
It's Mitch Kupchak and nobody else.
Yeah,
he's
Mitch Kupchak
has
literally not left his like the room that he was in when the NBA shut down. He's just been in the like Hornets facility, just like in his office the entire time.
He's like, well, you know, I gotta follow the rules as Adam Silver laid out.
I already sound like I might have it. So,
oh God. I hope Kupchak is staying safe in all seriousness. Whether it's in
he
his
probably
office
is
or not.
Though. Like yeah. We joke because you know he's the guy who just refused to break any tampering
it's the
laws.
Big boy
so,
scout.
Yeah. So I really think though. So it's kind of funny though. Like the reason I'm asking that question.
I think JJ Redick probably abided quarantine because anybody that didn't is not gonna call out LeBron and the Lakers for not doing so. Like if he was going out and doing that. Like I think JJ Redick's probably like stuck to the rules. I would imagine. Also,
maybe.
He just seems like the kind of guy that would stick to the rules.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like if the Pelicans arranged a special workout, you're telling me JJ Redick is going to be like, no, how dare you? We have a chance to
squeeze
into the playoffs.
I don't know if JJ Redick's invited.
Here.
Like he's a lot older than all those guys. Like they might just like, they might want to have their own, like, they're like, oh, we don't need like
he's been trying
around.
To figure out Zoom all this time.
Yeah. Like if JJ comes, he's gonna be telling us about why this all relates to life. Like we just want to play basketball. Like
it just
he's gonna
it
be
just
telling us
like,
to listen to his podcast and like come on it. Like
it just seems like such kind of wiener behavior to like, oh look at the Lakers, they were working out behind closed doors.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
which
oh,
like
on,
you know, I'm not surprised in that case that Bill Simmons
the Celtics fan, like yeah. Oh yeah, sure, that holds a ton of water here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'd buy it because he's plugged in LA circles. Like he runs in those same circles as the like the guy who whose house they would be doing at. Whose
yeah,
name
he
I'm
has
blanking
black friends.
On, but yeah,
I just.
There's been enough smoke from enough different people that I believe this is happening.
I also believe that it's happening. Yeah. I also don't believe that the Lakers are the only team here doing this. You're telling
so you
me
don't
that
think,
the other teams...
I don't think that teams probably organized it to this degree, like without a guy like LeBron to do so.
I don't know, man. There's
Chris
a lot
Paul
of teams that are going to be like competing for a championship
through Oklahoma
here.
City. Chris Paul probably found secret tunnels through Oklahoma City to get all of his teammates to meet up, besides those two.
Did you see the pictures of James Harden? Like he finally looks in shape.
Yeah, but he's been that's documented. He's been doing his own solitary workouts, like running mountains or something. Like I think
no,
there's
teammates with him. There's a picture of him doing with teammates.
Oh, I didn't know that. But okay, well then maybe every NBA team's doing that for James Harden specifically. I think it's just strip club shut down. So like he got into shape. Like.
Wait, he's like, wait, they can retire my actual jersey? That's the point of all this? Not just the one that's in the strip club?
I'm just saying, I don't think it's a coincidence that all those businesses shut down and James Harden looks like he's in the best shape of his life. Like,
I just think here with the Lakers, like, yeah, it doesn't shock me at all that the Lakers went out and tried to get a couple workouts in because they, like, it goes back to what we were talking about with Kidd. They are so close to potentially winning a championship. And LeBron is so close to this huge goal of his, right? And you're telling me that some rules that were set out there that I would imagine very few celebrities actually followed to a T and very few NBA players actually followed to a T. You're telling me that that's going to stop him from being prepared if and when the NBA season resumes? Like, I don't see that happen.
Yeah, I don't, I think that it will, because they've done it as a team, like, and it seems like it's been fairly organized based on what we've heard. Like, I do think that it may allow them to continue some of that on-court chemistry that we weren't sure if, like, would continue or if it would be disrupted or if these guys would be, like, they aren't going to be in NBA shape, obviously, but, like, they may have a little bit of an edge in terms of being able to ease their way back versus, like, having to go from 0 to 100, especially as an old team. Like, you know, again, I'm not encouraging anyone to break coronavirus, like, guidelines, but, like, this may end up helping them.
Do you think the Clippers tried to arrange a workout like this, but everybody hates each other on that team, so they said, no, we don't want to do it?
Anthony, I can tell you there's zero chance that Kawhi Leonard has texted all of, like, his teammates to, like, get together and work out. Like,
how many numbers from his team, from his teams over the years, do you think he actually has stored in his phone?
He probably has, like eight, but, like, they're probably not under the guy's, like, actual names. It's probably just, like, what he calls them.
Or like they'll call and he'll say, oh, who's new phone?
Like Danny Green, right? Is that one Spurs guy, that one guy that follows me. And then
podcast guy.
Yeah. Paul George is like a guy I almost got drafted with.
No, Paul George is like new second best player.
Yeah.
Latest, like, second best player.
New Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
He's in there as skinny right. Kyle Lowry.
New Tim Duncan, yeah. New Kyle Lowry.
Man with
Tim
hair.
Duncan is like old Tim Duncan.
Yeah, Paul George. Yeah, Paul George is Manu with hair. Doc Rivers is new pop.
I bet the Bucks could probably get together for one of these practices, and, like, actually advertise that they did it, and ESPN wouldn't even cover it.
It's probably true. I mean, yeah.
The jump would be like, does this mean that Giannis is going to go to Golden State? How did you get there?
He's trying to get himself suspended from the playoffs, and then he'll be able to have an excuse to leave.
So he just goes straight to Golden State, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think the Lakers were doing this, and I don't think they're anywhere near alone. That's why, like, when the reports came out, and it was like, Bill Simmons says the Lakers have been working out, I'm like, okay, cool. What does Bill Simmons know about the Celtics working out?
You know, I would imagine that's probably not something he's willing to reveal on the air.
Yeah. Him and Chris Mannix are probably sitting on some information.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to wrap this up before Anthony gets us in trouble. as always, you can find this show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. And, you know, just as a quick reminder, we are going to be going on. I'm not even going to ask Anthony if he has anything to plug because I'm doing it right now. We are going on Locked On Lakers next to continue this conversation. And we are going to talk about, like, the roster rules and how the Lakers might be able to, like, weather any guys sitting out and stuff like that. So we will be, you know, hopefully that's next up in your podcast feed, but give us a 5-star rating if you can. That helps us out. And as always, we appreciate you listening. Alex and Alex, I believe, will be back tomorrow. If you haven't done so yet, check out a Jazz podcast with Devontae Kaycock, and we will talk to you all later.